Hare Krishna. We take up the ekada things. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Yes. Hare Krishna devotees. This morning we will continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Day. And today we will read text 14. Sarvam kala kritam manye bhavatam cha yad apriyam sapalo yad vishe loko vayor eva ganadavi. Yes, translation. In my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time, under whose control everyone and every planet is carried, just as the clouds are carried by the wind. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is control by time all over the space within the universe, as there is control by time all over the planets. All the big, gigantic planets, including the sun, are being controlled by the force of air, as the clouds are carried by the force of air. Similarly, the inevitable kala, or time, controls even the action of the air and other elements. Everything therefore is controlled by the Supreme Kala, a forceful representative of the Lord within the material world. Thus, Yudhisthira should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. Everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time, as long as one is within the conditions of the material world. Yudhisthira should not think that he had committed sins in his previous birth and is suffering the consequence. Even the most pious has to suffer the condition of material nature. But a pious man is faithful to the Lord, for he is guided by the bona fide Brahman and Vaishnava, following the religious principles. These three guiding principles should be the aim of life. One should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Even the great controller of the universe, Brahmaji, is also under the control of that time. Therefore, one should not grudge being thus controlled by time, despite being a true follower of religious principles. Sarvam kala kritam manye bhavatam cha yad apriyam sapalo yad vishe loko vayor eva ganadavi. In my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time, under whose control everyone and every planet is carried, just as the clouds are carried by the wind. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vananda Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Prachane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastitya Deshtani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkalpa Charubhyas Chakripa Sindhu Vyavacha. Vajitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So Bhishma Dev is saying, in his opinion, this is all due to inevitable time. So what is this all which is due to inevitable time? What's he referring to? Which was caused by inevitable time. It is. First of all, the sufferings of the Pandavas, and then the sufferings of Kunti, who suffered, we discussed yesterday, she suffered first because of the premature passing away of her husband, Pandu, and then she suffered because the Pandavas got into difficult situations, and she was their mother, and therefore she was connected with them, and she had to share those sufferings to some degree, or to quite a substantial degree. So Bhishma Deva saying that, in my opinion, manye sarvam kala kritam manye. In my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time. Yes, so time within this material world, time is an extremely powerful factor. And even if one is a very advanced devotee, even if one is a very advanced devotee, still time is there. And of course we know that even in our experience, the greatest devotee by far, Srila Prabhupada, he was also subjected to the influence of time, in that in due course of time, he had to leave his body. So, even someone is very great devotee, and is in many ways transcendental to the material nature, but still the influence of time is there inescapably, even for very great devotees, at least in certain respects. At least in certain respects, but not absolutely. So, for example, even though Srila Prabhupada was subject to the influence of time, in that his body aged, and as his body aged, different inconveniences arose. Prabhupada suffered from different physical conditions. He was diabetic to some degree, as I understand, not extremely badly, but still, he was diabetic to some degree, and he had a problem with his ears. An don't know how much you may be aware or unaware of these things, but Prabhupada had a problem with his ears. That there was always, at least in his older days, he would often complain that he would experience a ringing sound in his ears. And there were various other things too. So of course, someone like Srila Prabhupada, a very great devotee, even though being under the influence of inevitable time in certain respects, but at the same time in terms of consciousness, in terms of the person he really was or is, then of course he was transcendental. He was a transcendental personality. But still otherwise, as much as one is implicated on the material platform, even as much as one has a material body, time will exert its influence. And therefore, amongst all the different factors of material existence, time is considered to be the most powerful. It's more powerful than the modes. It's the most powerful material thing. And even is considered a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Time is very exceptional. We know when Arjuna, in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is viewing the universal form, that initially he sees certain aspects, certain features of the universal form, which are very impressive, but they're very beautiful. And in a sense, you could say they're very nice. Many garlands, and many fragrances. So nice and extremely impressive. Then Arjuna sees another feature of the universal form, and this particular feature is very shocking. He sees how all the warriors are rushing into the mouths of this particular feature of the universal form. And the universal form is actually eating them. Yes. All of the warriors and all people are being eaten by the Supreme Lord or by the universal form. And it's very shocking. And in fact, it's so shocking that Arjuna loses his composure altogether and is reduced to something like, you could say, a nervous wreck or something like that. And he just loses control almost completely. And he doesn't know what to do. All he can think of to do is bow down and offer obeisances. Nothing else. So he offers obeisances from the front, from the left, from behind, from the right, from the front. And he just goes on offering obeisances thousands of times. That's all he could. That's all he could do. And it was so shocking that he asked Krishna, "Who are you? Who are you? And what's your mission?" Which you would think, or which you would not really expect Arjuna to have to ask Krishna, because they were extremely closely connected. as cousin brothers. They really were like brothers. They were together so much of the time. And they knew each other. You know, all the intricacies of each other's personalities. And they really knew each other. But now here is Arjuna asking, who are you? Tell me who you are. And what's your mission? And what does Krishna reply? Kalosmi lokakshaya krit prabhriday, is it? Anyway, kalosmi lokakshaya krit. I am time. And what's the other question was, what's your mission? Why are you here? I've come to destroy everyone and everything. Yes, so time is a particular manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And amongst all material phenomena and all the different functions and features of the material nature, time has a special place. When Lord Mahavishnu glances over the material nature, then the glance, anyway, within the glance, there are different things. Different things are there. All the living entities are there. That means you and me. We have all been in the glance. And we all got thrown into the womb of material nature via the glance. And then within the glance is the Icha Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Icha Shakti means the potency of his desire. What's his desire? That those living entities who just got injected into material nature will be able to continue their material existences from where they left off, but ultimately that they'll get the opportunity to come back to him. Ultimately, that's his desire. And then also within the glance is the Kala Shakti, time, the force of time. So living entities are injected into the womb of material nature. There you go. Then the desire of the Lord is there. And then time enters. And time is the factor which brings everything, or it brings everything into the stage of functioning. Without time, even the desire of the Lord that the living entities continue their material existence, or particularly that they get the opportunity to go back to Godhead, without the influence of time, that does not work. And what to speak of just the conditioned souls being able to function or not. Without the influence of time, the conditioned souls remain in susupti, or the state of deep sleep, inactive. This is all described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. That time then activates the three modes of material nature. The three modes of material nature then activate the conditioned soul's karma. And when the conditioned soul's karma starts functioning again, then the conditioned souls come back to life form. at least outwardly, become active. It's all because of time. And when the Lord, in the course of the destruction of the universe, when the Lord withdraws the Kala Shakti, then the living entity's karma stops. And the living, the movement, the activities of the three modes stops. Because time is providing the background within which, like the sort of the environment within which all these things can happen. So time, in terms of the functions of material existence and the different features and things which make up material existence, time has that unique position. And so Krishna does not say, when Arjuna asks, who are you? What's your mission? Krishna does not say, I am the three modes of material nature. Doesn't say that. He says, I am time. Because the three modes are under the control of time. So yes, so Bhishma, of course, is speaking in a certain way. It's not just a matter of time, that just because of time, there was Kunti Devi, there was Yudhisthira, who he's actually Bhishma Dev speaking to, and the other Pandavas, that, you know, just simply due to the influence of time, just all these things happened, even though they're very great devotees. But as Krishna says, Kalos me, I am time. Or time is an essential potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead is controlling time. And particularly for the devotees like Kunti Devi, and Yudhisthira and the other Pandavas, as great, great devotees, they are under the control of, under the shelter of, they are in the hands of Krishna, of course, and not just time, and Krishna somewhere else. So anyway, this is a way to put it. It's a way to put it, just like somewhere it was said, in some places we read, it's providence, due to providence, what can you do? Things happen, due to providence. For devotees, it's due to Krishna. So, therefore, Prabhupada saying in the purport, Bhishmadeva is saying, in effect, that you shouldn't be upset. You shouldn't be upset by what's happened in your life. Yudhisthira, in a way which is similar to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was speaking just before. Now Yudhisthira has been speaking, expressing actually the same anxieties, but after. Arjuna was saying that, oh, so many people are going to die. I'm going to be responsible. And it's going to be very bad for me, and it's just going to be very bad. This was before. And of course, Krishna argued against that idea, and Arjuna fought. Now Yudhisthira, looking back in retrospect, Yudhisthira is saying, oh, there was this battle, and so many people died, and that's bad, and I'm responsible. So it's my problem. You see? He's actually saying what Arjuna was afraid, you know, of saying, you could say, afraid. He's lamenting the happening of what Arjuna was afraid would happen. Arjuna was afraid. There'll be this battle for me, for us, to get the throne, and there'll be so much karma for us, that'll be bad. Krishna spoke against that. Now Yudhisthira is saying there was a battle, so many died, just so we could get the throne. And now we're going to have to take the karma, that's bad. So, Krishna is present here. Krishna's present here, but here he doesn't speak. In at least not much. In Bhagavad Gita, obviously, it's Krishna who does the speaking. But here, in order to glorify his devotee, Bhishma Dev, who is one of the Mahajans after all, and is just a great authority, Krishna's letting him speak. Bhishma Dev's in this very extraordinary position, lying on the bed of arrows. So many arrows through his body, you could not put two fingers between the arrows. How would you like to be in a situation like that, Chakravish? Not much fun. But still, despite being in this, you know, it's just incredibly bad situation materially, he is speaking this amazing, wonderful philosophy and just clearing the doubts of Yudhisthira, at least as things go on, he'll clear the doubts. So as Arjuna was in anxiety that certain things would happen, now Yudhisthira is in anxiety that the very things did happen. And Bhishma Dev is pointing out that this battle, because Yudhisthira was saying, so many people died in the battle, just so I could become the king, I have to take the karma. Which normally would be true. But Bhishma Dev was saying, well, you know, it was providence, it was time. Actually, it was Krishna. It was Krishna's desire. And that's why it happened, and it worked out the way that Krishna wanted. And so Yudhisthira should not lament. And he should not be concerned. Maybe I'm going to get a lot of bad karma, because he's not. Because he was acting as a devotee. Because he was acting as a devotee under the supervision of Krishna in a very bona fide way. No karma. Nothing. Nothing. But rather so much mercy. One of my godbrothers, he's Israeli. His name is Vishnu Dutta Das. He fought in the, I think it was called the Six-Day War. It was in the 60s, something like that. Israel against various of the other Arab nations which surround Israel. And so then he became a devotee. And then he met Srila Prabhupada, and he spoke with Srila Prabhupada. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, there was this war, I was in it. I was manning a machine gun, like a heavy machine gun. He said, I killed many people. What should I do? And you know what Srila Prabhupada said? Just chant Hare Krishna. That's my problem. just chant Hare Krishna. What can you do? Yeah. So Yudhisthira, all Yudhisthira really needs to do is just chant Hare Krishna, actually. But because he's very nice, and he's a very sort of responsibly minded person, he's feeling the burden of the responsibility here. And Bhishma Dev, very nicely, is dissipating that unnecessary anxiety. So, yes, time is a very difficult thing. Prabhupada here says, one should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Even Brahma is under the control of that time. So, actually it was explained yesterday that, well, we were saying yesterday, that all these things which happened to Kunti, for example, she lost her husband. She was just very young, and she had these five small children. And then those children, as they grew up, well, as we mentioned yesterday, as you know, little children, little problems. Big children, big problems. And don't sit there thinking, you know, I'm big, how could I be a problem? Ask your parents. Yeah. So, it was all by the arrangement of the Lord that she lost her husband. And then her sons got into all the situations they got into. It was the arrangement of the Lord. So, don't worry too much. And now Yudhisthira, it was the arrangement of the Lord. It wasn't just time, but it was time under the control of Krishna that put Yudhisthira in that situation. He fought, he killed, and many were killed just to help him become established. But it was the will of the Lord. It was the will of the Lord. So sometimes devotees, they don't just say it was the will of the Lord. Sometimes, it was in the purport yesterday, Prabhupada said, it was providence. Here Bhishma Dev is saying it was time. Yeah. So sometimes devotees express themselves in that sort of way. But as devotees, we should understand ultimately what this means, providence, the force of time. What it means is, this is the will of Krishna. For example, the Pandavas got into great difficulty. They were exiled. And they were just living under the trees. It was a very extremely austere existence. So, yesterday Prabhupada said, this was providence. C'est la vie. C'est la vie, c'est la guerre. It was providence, what can you do? Yeah, but it was Krishna actually. And why? Of course there are different reasons why the Pandavas were placed into great difficulty. But one of the reasons was that Krishna wanted us, and even actually us, literally, this group sitting here today, and the devotees in general, to see how do advanced devotees deal with difficulty so we can learn. Because otherwise, how are we going to learn? Of course, you know, we hear the philosophy and the different concepts. And so we may understand, yes, okay, we should deal with difficulty in certain ways. And that's nice. But here's the actual example. Great devotees placed into extreme difficulties. Which, according to their karma, they don't have any karma. So they're not due to get the situation because of their karma, because they don't have any karma. But by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're put in this extremely difficult situation. And one of the main reasons is so we can learn how to deal with difficulty. And we can see examples. And similarly, when Lord Ram was banished, and Sita went with Lord Ram, and Sita insisted, I imagine you know the story, that Lord Ram didn't want her to come, and actually forbade her to come. But she insisted, and she came. She was not banished to the forest. She could have easily said, well, you know, I'll just stay here in the forest. I'll just stay here in the palace, and you go into the forest. I'll see you when you get back. She could have said that. Yeah. You know, when criminals get arrested and locked up in jail, you don't normally hear that their wives volunteer to join them in jail. But Sita volunteered and insisted. Absolutely insisted. So we can learn. Among other things, so women can learn about the principle of faithfulness to the husband. And you might say, wow, her husband was wrong, you know. He's God. Look at my husband. He's some ordinary guy working in a job. But no, it's the principle. There are things to learn. And the Lord arranges via time, via providence, the Lord arranges that these great, great personalities get put in these situations which they don't deserve at all, to put it mildly. But still they go through it for us, so we can learn. Because unfortunately, devotees, we do deserve to go through some problems. We deserve, and we will get, and we will get because we deserve, yes. But through seeing these examples, and hearing all these different instructions like from Bhishma, then it'll help us to deal with these things in Krishna consciousness, and remain Krishna conscious despite great difficulty. And even one of Prabhupada's servants was telling me, just immediately after Prabhupada left as well, I think it was like January or maybe February 78, something like that. He was telling me how Prabhupada would chastise him every day. It was like a ritual. It was just part of the program. At some point, Prabhupada would chastise him every single day. And sometimes, Prabhupada would catch him doing something wrong and would chastise him. And, you know, if you're doing something wrong, it's understandable. But then sometimes Prabhupada would chastise him for things that he didn't do. And, you know, something would go wrong, someone else would make a mistake, he'd get chastised. So this was causing him some anxiety. And one day he decided, when Prabhupada chastises me next time for something that I didn't do, I'm going to tell Prabhupada. So one day it happened. Someone did some nonsense and this devotee got chastised. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, it wasn't actually me who did this. It was, you know, it was him. And Prabhupada said, yes, I know. I'm just trying to break your false ego. So by the arrangement of the Lord, the arrangement of Prabhupada also, and our spiritual masters, somehow through these higher level arrangements and dealings, sometimes we get thrown into some extraordinary situations and we might question, and from an objective point of view it might appear to be correct that why should I have to go through this? You know, it's not actually my fault or something like that. But as Bhishma Dev says, time is a manifestation of the Lord. Providence, the hand of the Lord is behind providence. So the Lord makes different arrangements to help us. And sometimes in order to help us, he arranges something which we would consider nice, and we become inspired and we think, yes, let me progress in Krishna consciousness because Krishna is really nice. But sometimes Krishna gives us some difficulty, but actually it's to help us progress. And therefore, as we mentioned yesterday, Queen Kunti, in the previous chapter, just a few verses ago, really, Queen Kunti prayed, Vibhada Santu Tashashvat, Tatra Tatra Jagadguru, Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyat, Apunar Bhava Darshanam. But I wish all those calamities would happen again and again, because then we will see you again and again. And when we see you, we don't have to see repeated birth and death. So this is the perspective of the very advanced devotee. And frankly, devotees of ISKCON flag and surrounding areas, frankly, I don't think any of us are on that level where we need to pray, give me more problems, Krishna, I don't have enough. Because if you give me problems, then I just feel impelled to take shelter of you, and that's good for me. Yena kena prakarena mana Krishna naveshayet. This, I think it's Padma Purana, it's something like that. One of the Vedic literatures quoted by Rupa Goswami. In Bhakira Sami Desindo. Yena, in this way. Kena, in that way. Prakarena, in any way. Somehow, mana Krishna naveshayet. Somehow think of Krishna. Whether you achieve thinking of Krishna by this means or some other means altogether, but if it makes you think of Krishna, that's good. That's what we want. So Kunti, she's so advanced that she's praying. She's saying that when we got put into difficulty, I just felt I had nowhere else to turn, so I turned to you. and that was wonderful. So, but now I don't have difficulties. She's thinking, she's afraid. Now I don't have difficulties. Now I'm going to relax. I will sit in front of the television, get the television program, and watch my favorite shows. Or go watch Shah Rukh Khan, because it's time to relax. Life is good. Of course, it's not true. Someone like Queen Kunti, even if there are just no problems, and even if materially everything's wonderful, she'll still remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. But in her humility as a devotee last night, we're talking a little bit about humility. In her humility as a devotee, she feels, if I am not pressurized to be Krishna conscious, I may not be Krishna conscious. It's not really true, but she's feeling like that in her humility. So, you know, generally we have enough problems anyway. We don't really need to ask for more, because we have sufficient. But Queen Kunti is feeling like that. That we got put into so much difficulty, that was mercy. If we hadn't got that mercy, our situation would be very bad. So as devotees, as aspiring devotees, when time, providence, the Lord behind these things, put us into different situations, we should take it, this is the will of the Lord. And what should I do now? I should see how to serve the Lord in this situation. He's put me in this situation. How can I use the situation for his service? And then we'll progress. I remember, because, you know, I mentioned the other day somewhere, when I was a young devotee in England, we'd get arrested a lot. A lot. Really. A lot. You know, I must have got arrested 50 times. Really. At least once a week. Yeah. And sometimes the policeman, you know, we'd been arrested the day before, and the policeman would come the next day. And sometimes we tell him, listen, hang on, I got arrested yesterday, okay. So just, you know, give me a breath. And sometimes they'd say, okay. And they let us carry him up, really. So I got arrested a lot. And one time, the worst time, I got arrested on a Friday afternoon. And they figured out I was a foreigner. And they were afraid I would skip the country over the weekend. So they kept me till Monday in the prison cells. And there I was, and they took away my chanting beads, my neck beads, my brahmin thread. They said they were afraid I might hang myself. I mean, they took away everything. So I didn't even have beads to chant on, or any way of counting the number of rounds. And initially I thought, oh my gosh, what is this? But then I thought, well, anyway, I was not so happy about it. And then the devotees brought me a new book. The sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam had arrived that day in the country. They brought me a copy, and I got to read the entire sixth canto. Because normally, you know, we're really busy. and you just have to grab a few minutes here or there to read. But there was nothing I could do. I just read. And they brought me Mahaprasadam. So I was eating Mahaprasadam and reading. It was really nice. And when they let me go on Monday, I had to go to court and I got fined £5 for doing book distribution without a license or something. Then I was thinking, ah, what a shame I have to leave the prison. Because I could read, you know, read more. So Krishna makes these different arrangements with his devotees. And we should understand they are Krishna's arrangements. Yudhisthira has been through this whole thing. It was Krishna's arrangement. It was Krishna's arrangement that he had to fight and kill as a service to Krishna. There's no karma for him. So Bhishma is telling him, just accept it. Just accept it. So as devotees, we have to develop that mood of acceptance sometimes, in many situations. At least when Krishna puts you in a situation which is beyond your control, then you have to be able to accept it and see how to use it in Krishna's service, rather than just get all disturbed and even get angry with Krishna. Why are you putting me in this situation, Krishna? Come on, I'm your devotee. You're meant to look after me. Not like that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Any comment or question, words of wisdom?
What?
Yes.
You mentioned earlier that Srila Prabhupada, his was affected by time.
Yeah.
In the sense that his body aged when he had some diseases.
Right.
And on the other hand, also, we read from Prabhupada Maharaj's diary of the Kalyani book that whenever Srila Prabhupada traveled, he used to travel practically all the time. He was not like affected by jet lag and used to land in different places and carry on with activities that he used to do at this particular time of the day. So right. Can you also say that Prabhupada was affected by the time and not affected by the time at the same time?
Yes. You know, as a person progresses, they become less affected by time and more able to deal with more things. Yeah. But still, you know, his body had to die, and you know, he would get sick sometimes and get incapacitated. I remember his last visit to London. He was hospitalized and had to have an operation. It was, you know, unpleasant. But even, you know, there are ways of dealing, just materially, there are ways of dealing with jet lag to some degree. Would you believe that there are mantras for dealing with jet lag? Yeah, there are mantras. There are mantras for all sorts of things. There are mantras for finding things you've lost. There are many mantras. So, you know, Prabhupada was better at dealing with jet lag than his servants were. They struggled more. Yeah. But Prabhupada's strategy was that he would generally not change his schedule, or he would move into the schedule of the place where he was going and stick with that schedule. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, like that. So he was better able to deal with things of that sort than as disciples, but not absolutely, because the body is material. And you know, even when Prabhupada left his body, he went into a state of unconsciousness. At least externally, he was showing no consciousness until the last moment, and suddenly said Hare Krishna and just departed. Yeah. But the thing is, time, because it's a special, it's not exactly transcendental, but it's transcendental to the modes. Yeah. The modes are under time. Time is not under the modes. So it has a very special nature. Sort of like a divine, somewhat divine nature, being a special potency of the Lord, and therefore it may act apparently on devotees by the will of the Lord in certain respects. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.